You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, everybody. You are Locked On Jets on this Tuesday, August 28th, 2018. I'm your host, John B. from gangrenenation.com. As always, subscribe on either iTunes or Spotify if you enjoy the show, and please leave it a good review in iTunes. We certainly do appreciate it, and thanks to those who have already done so. We are in the final days of the preseason. Soon we will be focused on regular season week one, but there is one final preseason game left. It's the quote-unquote backup bowl between the New York Jets and the Philadelphia Eagles. The two teams play annually in the fourth and final preseason game, and you never see any players of any importance because these teams are now focused on resting them for the regular season. As I mentioned yesterday, you know, you don't get many weeks where you can rest players and get them fresh. So this is one of the last opportunities these teams will get. So we will see none of the star. I would be shocked. If we saw one starter on Thursday night, I'd be shocked. But it's an opportunity for guys who are a little lower on the depth chart to make a final impression. And last year, the NFL did something smart. The league used to have two cutdown days in the preseason. The first came after preseason week three, and you'd cut from 90 players down to 75. And then after week four, you'd cut from 75 to 53, your 53-man roster to start the season. Last year, they changed that. Now there's only one cutdown day. After week four of the preseason, you cut from 90 to 53. And this makes so much more sense because that third preseason game is the one the starters play deep. So the guys who are really at the bottom of the roster, you know, guys 90 through 75, they don't even have a chance to play in that game. So it's like their last opportunity to make an impression, and they don't even get the chance. Meanwhile, you head to week four. This is the last preseason game. None of the starters play. You need extra bodies. I mean, heck, sometimes teams have to trade for somebody or, you know, sign some free agent just to be an extra body in this game, just so they, you know, in case they run low on players at the position so that they, you know, if somebody gets hurt, they don't have to put one of their starters in. I mean, why would you cut from 90 to 75 before this game? So smart move by the NFL making that change. Today, what we're going to talk about are some players who need to do something in this last preseason game. They need to make an impression. These are players who are very much in danger of being cut. I'm going to name a number of guys. And one thing I'm going to make clear is that I'm going to stick with guys who have some pedigree in this league. So either they have some past track record, or they are picked high in the draft, or the Jets gave up some resource to get them, or they've been on the team. There's something about them that actually gave them a realistic chance of making this team when training camp opened, and it just has not happened for them. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not sure how much this week four preseason game matters, because the Jets have had a full set of training camp practices and three preseason games to evaluate all these guys. So how much is one preseason game against a bunch of backups with the Eagles really going to move the needle? Well, I don't know, but that's all these guys have left. You know, they can at least make the decision a little more interesting for the Jets if they put together a solid fourth and final preseason game. So let's get rolling on this, and I'll give you some names to keep an eye on. And the first guy I'm going to look at is at the running back position, and it's Thomas Rawls. And I'll tell you something. I am convinced that on the internet, every single conceivable opinion, you can find somebody who has it. You can find one guy who has every conceivable opinion, no matter how far out there it was. Because last week after the Washington preseason game, after the week two preseason game, I wrote an article on Gangrene Nation where I talked about how much Rawls had struggled, and somebody like took issue with that. Somebody took issue with the idea that Thomas Rawls had struggled and Thomas Rawls was not looking good. You know, I mentioned that Rawls really wasn't that good, and I think, you know, pretty much everything on that backs me up. I mean, he had a solid rookie season a couple of years ago with Seattle, but this is not a guy who's been a very impressive player in this league ever since. Last year, and I understand bad Seattle offensive line, but he averaged 2.7 yards per carry. I mean, he may have been the least effective back in the entire NFL last year. And I was being taken to task for saying the guy isn't that good of a player. I mean, he hasn't been that good of a player. He did have a decent rookie year a couple of years ago. And, I mean, he averaged 1.5 yards per carry in that Washington game. And this training camp has not been good to him. He's pretty much been on been injured the entire time. So I was sitting there and I was like, really? You're going to get on me about saying Thomas Rawls is not impressive? I mean, the guy hasn't been impressive since 2015. He was good as a rookie in 2015. That's why I'll put him on the list, because he does have that pedigree. But what's he done since 2015? And look, I don't blame the Jets for, I mean, this is, you got to find 90 players. It's not easy to find 90 players who are good. And, you know, you're using one of those spots. I mean, using another guy who was good a couple of years ago, who still is relatively young, 25 years old, not a terrible use. I mean, not a terrible use of a training camp spot, but certainly not a guy who's done anything to impress. He's done nothing to show he deserves a spot on the 53-man roster. So he's got to show up, and you know, he may be running out of time. Another guy, I'll mention it out of the backfield, and this is killing me. Because I go to training camp a few weeks ago, and this guy's sticking out, and I go out on a limb and say that this guy is looking good. Trenton Cannon, man. Oh, you're killing me, Trenton. The fumbles on the returns. Oh. Now, I think he's going to make the team, so maybe, you know, this guy, of the people I'm going to name on this list, he's the one guy I think kind of has an inside track to making the team. I'd still be surprised, but man, he has not been showing it in preseason, so I hope he, and I don't know, maybe this is the wrong list for him, but I just have to mention him, because, man, come on, man, you know, I go to bat for you, I'm telling all my listeners, you know, watch out for this guy, he looks so fast out there, then you go out and play like this, and you show me nothing in preseason. Oh, you're killing me, Trenton, come on, man, please. Do something for me. Do something, man. I like your game. Oh. So, you know, that'll be... So I think that's where I'm going out of the backfield. Now, hopping over to the defensive side of the ball, and there's a guy who's, I think, in deep trouble. It's Lorenzo Maldon, who I think that this... I mean, I think this coaching staff, I think this regime has been sour on him for going on 2 years now. If you go back to 2016 when... And I say this all the time because it's true. He was penciled in as a starting role at the start of training camp, and he lost the starting job in training camp. And there was all this discussion about how great Ryan Clady looked. Well, it's because he was going up against Maldon every day, apparently, because Clady did not have that great of a year. He was played very limited snaps last week. He's another guy who's been banged up. I'm not convinced he would have made the team. I think he may have been cut last year if he hadn't gotten hurt. I mean, I'm not sure he would have made it through the full season just because I think the Jets are so down on him. He's really not flashed much. So I think Lorenzo Maldon, you look on the end, it would be, boy, that would be bad for Maldon if he'd missed the, he did not make this team, because this is not exactly a team that is rich in edge rushers. This is not a team that's, you know, swimming in quality proven edge guys. This team has very little in the way of proven edge guys. So you don't make this team, you know, as an edge guy, you're going to have a tough time finding a job in the NFL. So Maldon is a guy who's very much in danger. And there have even been news stories about it. He's been the subject of an article or two where the Jets are just not happy with him. So this is not looking great for Lorenzo Maldon. And he can, again, I think in a lot of ways these decisions are already made. I think Rawls is probably gone. I think Cannon, as much as he's destroyed me in preseason, I think he probably still makes it. But he can, you know, he can make this much easier if he posts a big final preseason finale. I think Maldon's probably gone, but at least he can, you know, give the Jets something, or if nothing else, put something on the film for a new team. But I think he needs a big, if he's even gonna talk, get himself into consideration for a roster spot, he's got to make something happen soon. Now, we talked about Cannon a little earlier on the subject of people who are just like letting me down, making me look bad. Chad Hansen, how many, I mean, I go all offseason, I'm talking Chad Hansen, I'm like, I don't know, I just have a feeling about this guy. I mean, we have to burn the tapes of the offseason shows we did because of how much I talked up Chad Hansen's going to be the number three receiver. I don't know, he runs routes well, I'm talking him up nonstop, and he goes out and plays like this in preseason. You talk about guys who are just, like, making me look like a fool. Chad, I went to bat for you. Oh. I'm not going to give the same speech I gave Cannon, but hopefully Chad was listening. He's done virtually nothing. I mean, he has not. He's kind of played. He may have played himself off the roster, and which would be surprising, relatively surprising. It's kind of early to cut bait on a fourth round pick from a year ago, but the Jets have a crowded receiver room, and you've got your top two guys, Robbie Anderson, Quincy Enunwa. We all know they're going to make the team. Terrell Pryor looks like he's going to be there. I'd imagine Jermaine Kearse is going to be around. There just aren't many spots, and Trey McBride seems like the guy the Jets want. It seems like he outplayed He's outplayed the other options in training camp and preseason. You know, preseason relatively quiet, but had a couple third down conversions against Washington a few weeks ago with the first team offense. So, you know, it just comes down to numbers and what's Hanson's not getting a lot of first. He did not earn. And again, this is a guy. This guy proves to you how little the offseason program should matter when you evaluate what a player is going to do the next season, because this was one of the stars of the offseason program, everybody said. They were all talking, and that probably contributed to me hyping Hanson up as much as I did. And, you know, he wasn't even earning first-team reps in training camp. The only notable play he's made in the entire preseason was a beautiful deep ball that Teddy Bridgewater threw second half against Washington, hits him in the hand, and he drops it, which, unfortunately for the Jets, I mean, this receiver situation has not looked that great in preseason for Sam Darnold or Teddy Bridgewater. And Hanson, again, he may just be playing himself off the team. He's not really showing a whole lot. And the same goes if we're going to stick at the wide receiver position for our Darius Stewart, who has shown a little bit more than Hanson, but then again, it may just come down to a numbers game. I mean, are you going to keep a sixth receiver? Well, if you are, then, you know, I mean, I think the five guys who are probably going to be on the team, again, Anderson and Nwo Locks, Pryor, Curse, I think are going to be on the team. McBride, it seems like they like better than the other guys. So you're going to keep a sixth receiver? Well, then Andre Roberts, you keep an extra receiver, you know, maybe you want a guy who's a returner. And I think Andre Roberts is going to be on this team. So if Andre Roberts is on the team, we're going to go seven deep. You know, at some point, the numbers just don't add up. And Stewart is a guy who didn't produce much last year. You know what bugged me about Stewart, though? It wasn't the lack of production. Third-round pick, you know, you're not going to produce a lot. It's that he was supposed to be a guy who was kind of a running back, receiver hybrid. He was supposed to be a guy who was dangerous, a guy maybe you can manufacture touches for. You know, he's going to be tough to bring down in the open field. He really wasn't. He really was not that different. You know, he was not a physical. You thought of him as a physical runner. At least I did, heading into last season. And the Jets did try to get him the ball in space. They tried to, you know, utilize his running skill. It really wasn't there. And, you know, he really was not that dynamic with the ball in his hands. And I think, you know, that if that's part of your game and you're not showing it as a rookie, that's something that's tough for me to get over, because you're either explosive with the ball in your hands or you're not. That's not like running routes. You know, that's not a part of your game that you can really refine. That just comes down to pure athleticism, pure physicality, you know, breaking tackles. I don't know how you teach that. Look, I can teach a guy if he's, you know, running a shaky route. You know, you teach him footwork, you can teach him, there are things you can work on. You know, if he's not running crisp routes. If he's not explosive with the ball in his hands, and that's a big part of Stewart's game, or at least it was supposed to be a big part of Stewart's game, I think that's an issue. Now, he's gotten a little bit better. He had a very rough first preseason game where he ran a terrible route against Atlanta that could have easily turned into an interception. And there are not many interceptions that would be blamed totally on a receiver. That one would have been. You know, most interceptions are either you blame it mostly on the quarterback, or maybe it's 50-50 or something like that, 60-40, 70-30, some on the quarterback, some on the receiver. That one was like almost, that would have been, if that, and it was, I mean, it hit the Atlanta defender. That would have been 100% on Stewart. He's gotten a little better, he's produced a little bit, but it just comes down to a numbers game, and he's just not winning this roster battle over other guys. And honestly, from what he's shown you, I'm not convinced he doesn't. I mean, I think he may end up sneaking onto the practice squad, which would mean no other team claimed. Now, a third round pick, you'd think a guy from, it was a third round pick a year ago, would get claimed by somebody, but I don't know. I mean, he's just shown so little in these, and I know preseason isn't everything, but the other teams have tape. The other teams have pro scouts. They have a pro personnel department. They're monitoring these preseason games, keeping an eye on players from other teams who could be potential waiver wire pickups. You know, they've got their eyes, and I mean, if you're another team and you're watching, you've watched what Ardarius Stewart can do, I don't know that I'm making a move for him. You know, again, part of it's probably comes down to draft grades from a year ago. Maybe you really liked him. Maybe you think, well, you know, the Jets aren't doing this, the Jets aren't doing that, our coaches will. Maybe you buy into that. I think there's a possibility, which again would be rare for a third round pick from a year ago. I think there's a possibility he could clear waivers and maybe make it onto the practice squad, just because he just has not shown you what you were hoping for, you know, in terms of the ability to run with the ball in his hands. That's what bugs me more than anything about Stewart. Not so much the lack of receptions, not so much the route running, just the things that you either have or you don't. It doesn't look like he's got that. So maybe he can prove me wrong. And at this point, I think as much as anything, it's about proving me wrong in that sense. We are going to close by talking about the cornerback position because there are a couple of guys out there who started training camp with legitimate shots of making the roster who now find themselves in a very precarious situation. And part of the problem is that the Jets don't have a lot of open spots at the cornerback position. You've got your three veteran starters. You have Tremaine Johnson, you have Morris Claiborne, you have Buster Skrine. And before anybody starts, questioning that, in today's NFL, you have three starting corners. You don't have two. Base defense is nickel now. You have three corners. So those are the three guys. Perry Nickerson, I think, makes the team. I think he's going to be, team seems to like him. Lots of people seem to be high on him. So that's four. And there's one corner who's really taken this opportunity. A bunch of these guys, the other guys I'm going to name, had an opportunity along with this guy. This guy has taken the opportunity to run with Derek Jones, has played his way, I think, into a roster spot, possibly as the number four corner. So, right there, that's five right there. That's five corners. I don't know that are you going to keep more than six? I don't know. So three guys I'll name. Darrell Roberts, who had a pretty prominent role on this team last year. Rough preseason. Not that good against Washington. Justin Burris played his way out of a starting job last year very early. He seems to be trending down a lot. Rough week 17 game against New England. Really rough. He has not distinguished himself. He hasn't done anything that makes me believe that this is a guy worthy of a roster spot. Rashard Robinson, who stood out for a stretch against Washington, was playing well, then a bad last drive, and back-to-back weeks, not good. I don't know how much run support matters, but a couple instances where he had a chance to help in run support. Instead, a big run got broken outside on him. And the other thing about Robinson is there was a little off-field issue with him that led to a four-game suspension, which probably does not help his cause. So, lots up in the air there with those three guys. I mean, those three guys, if the Jets, I tend to think we already know five of the corners, and I don't know that you're keeping seven. I think that, it might be three guys for possibly one spot, so those guys will need to step up. Those guys will need to show something. That may just come down. That might just be an open competition, Three guys for one job. That's what it might be. That'll do it for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you like the show, subscribe, iTunes, Spotify, and leave the show a good review in iTunes if you do enjoy it. Have a wonderful Tuesday. We'll be back again tomorrow to talk more Jets.